I do want to introduce our speaker for this morning, Dr. Jordan Tseng. The Tsengs are actually with us, Jordan and Sonia, so they're over here. Thank you for being with us. They came all the way here from sunny Hawaii, and so. But I knew Jordan back when I was a college student at the University of Chicago. Jordan was doing his PhD in political science at UChicago, and so I remember Jordan and Sonia's kindness to me. So thank you so much. I remember being over at your palatial home on that, like, that was like a ballroom that was your dining room or something like that. I remember, and I remember being introduced to the Vineyard for the first time. I really didn't know what the Vineyard was, and I remember we sat down for dinner, and you said thanks for the food, and I realized at that moment you were thanking God, but you looked at me, and so I just didn't know what that was. Because in the Vineyard, we do often pray with our eyes open, this is actually serious, because we want to notice the things that's actually happening from the Spirit on people's outward being, on their bodies. And so it's just something that we do habitually. And I learned so much from Jordan this weekend. I love his book, and he's here to preach for us this morning. And so, without further ado, can we invite you to come on up?
Oh, hi, everybody. Some of you are at the conference this weekend. I can tell. That was the highlight. You learned how to say hello properly. Thank you. At my church, we only have 4 distinctives, not 6. I observed your congregation. I would like to suggest that you downscale. That's what I've learned about the Evanston Vineyard this morning. Yeah, we didn't even try for 6. How many of you were at the fall conference that we did? Yeah. Cool. Any of you like received some, say, healing while you were there? Cool. Yeah. All right, leave your hands up, because these people have the best talk story. These are the people that you want to find and talk to and say, hey, what happened? They had loads of cool healings last night and some prophetic words in the morning. And basically, we've just been hanging out with the Holy Spirit and trying to manifest the good order of heaven amidst the chaos of the world. And we've been trying to do that in a great spirit of faith. Maybe you've heard of this thing called faith. Anybody got faith? That's kind of a thing in the kingdom of God, and it's what I want to talk about this morning. Let's do a meditation upon it. But as Ted mentioned, in Hawaii, we have this tradition called talk story. Maybe the best mainland phrase would be that's analogous would be like to shoot the breeze with someone. Except in Hawaii, when you get together and talk story, it's a way of introduction, and you know. Island conversations tend to be a bit slower paced and a bit longer than mainland conversations. And the best way to get to know someone is just to share some recent stories. And you know, the Lord is always doing something. So I thought I'd introduce myself to you by sharing a few recent stories from my faith ohana. Our church is called Blue Water Mission, to your faith community here in Chicago. They are praying for you this morning. I bet some have even gotten up early to pray for you, since we are hours behind. I've been telling this story recently a lot, but I just love it, so I just wanted to retell it this morning. We had our all-church retreat several weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, where our whole church kind of goes to the north shore of our island, Oahu, and we camp out together for a weekend, so we take a long weekend. And just hang out with God and get to know each other. It's the first time that we got to go on a retreat in like 3 years, because Hawaii has been particularly shut down with all the COVID stuff. So it was great, great joy of being together. And one afternoon, one of the mothers took her son into town, into Haleiwa town, to a shrimp truck, because she had a hankering for some shrimp. Shrimp trucks in Hawaii are like, I don't know, like taco trucks and other places. They're everywhere. And her little boy named Robbie, who was not quite 3 years old, wandered away from her, walked up to a stranger and said, hello, my name is Robbie. He's a very social kid. And then quite improperly stuck out his hand and put it on her tummy and said, is there a baby in there? And the woman just broke down weeping. And he said, it's all right, it's going to be okay. It turned out that she had recently had a miscarriage. And this little kid was kind of calling it out and saying, it's okay, it's okay. And that precipitated a conversation between the woman and the mom named Erica. Ended up, the woman kind of decided, I really need God in my life. I really need to meet this Jesus you're talking about. And so they prayed there on the corner of the street at the shrimp truck. And then the woman had heard that we were going to do a baptism service the following day at our all-church retreat. We always end our all-church retreat by doing baptism at the beach. And so she came to that. She was a little late, but some of us were able to minister to her anyway. So that's how we roll at Blue Water Mission. Our best prophets and our best evangelists are under three. You tell why I like that story, you know, because the Holy Spirit is no respecter of age or, I don't know, even capability. Thank God. This happened a while ago, but one of my favorite stories, healing stories from the church recently involves our missions pastor, who on the eve of going on a church planting trip to Indonesia, was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, a type of blood cancer. But by the time she was diagnosed, it was actually fairly far progressed. And what that particular form of cancer does is that it produces these proteins that get into the organs and then kind of kills the organs. And so her kidneys were entirely dead at that point, and which is how she ended up in the hospital. She got sick because her kidneys weren't working. They diagnosed the problem, immediately put her on dialysis, and got her through the initial onslaught of the disease. But for the rest of her life, she would have to go to dialysis 3 times a week. You know, go to kidney dialysis, they plug you into a machine and wash your blood, quite literally, and the process takes 4 hours. So 3 evenings a week for 4 hours at a time, she was hooked to a dialysis machine in downtown Honolulu. And she is our missions pastor, right? This is a woman that travels for ministry. So that was entirely over, entirely over. Lovely, lovely woman, though. Just one of my favorite people. And she took it like a champ and continued to minister faithfully as she could. And then one night, my wife had this dream in which she saw $20 bills flowing through Robin's bloodstream. Her name is Robin. $20 bills, right? A $20 bill, okay. Flowing through Robin's bloodstream. And got up the next day, I think the next day it was church, and walked up to Robin and said, I think you should get your blood tested by your kidney doctor because I think there's been a change in it. And they measure kidney function by percentage. And so we were thinking maybe 20% kidney function would be like almost normal, actually. So quite high, really. Your kidneys don't function at like 100% filtration. And so Robin went to her kidney doctor and said, I need to be tested. Now, they had this conversation, and Robin had asked him previously, do kidneys ever get better? And he said, no, I'm sorry, that's impossible. And being Robin, she said, but if they did get better, would you say that was a miracle? And she said, and the doctor said, yes, if your kidneys got better, that would be a miracle. And then being Robin, she said, if that miracle happened, would you come to church with me? Because he was a non-believer. And he said, yes, if that miracle happened, I would come to church with you. But listen, you know, Robin, it's not going to happen. You're just going to have to get used to the idea of lifelong dialysis. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. Nice guy. You already know the story, right? So she talked him in to giving her a kidney test, you know, which she needed because it took insurance money. She needed his recommendation. They gave her the test, and of course her kidneys had come back alive. They had rebounded to a 20% function. Went back to the doctor and said, yeah? And to this day, that joker has not come to church. I think she still bugs him, though. She gets her kidneys tested every once in a while just to prove. It's like, 20%. Have you ever had an experience of just ridiculous faith? Right? Have you ever had an experience in life where, like, you didn't just like, you know, believe in God, but you were like, I just know this thing in my soul. I just know God is going to do such and such. And you just like have this transcendent moment of faith. Have you ever had one of those experiences? Anybody? You can wave your hand at me. A few of you. We did a lot of healing this weekend, a lot of faith healing. And, you know, I always have faith to minister healing. But this is a formative experience I had. This was years ago. It was over 10 years ago. And there was this woman in our church who had just come to faith, brand new. And she came in with, you know, as we do, came in with some baggage and some problems. One of the things that was weighing her down is that she had this degenerative liver disease that made it difficult for her to digest food, and the problem was getting worse. So I was kind of called over to this little small meeting, prayer meeting one evening, and we were going to try and heal her liver disease, which is, of course, an important thing to try. It was getting worse. And so I started praying for her, conversing with her about how it started, and invited the Holy Spirit to come. And in that moment, I will never forget this, I just felt physically the hand of God on my shoulders, just whoomp. And I was sitting down, and I remember posturing up strong and looking at this young woman and just knowing for sure that she was about to be healed. I knew it more than I knew my own existence. It was crazy. And I started to say, almost unbidden, in the name of Jesus, I cast out the spirit of infirmity, and I say this liver is healed. And no sooner did I get the words out of my mouth than this brand new believer who had never had experience with anything supernatural said, it's gone. Like, she just knew right then. And of course it was. She was completely healed. I had lots of healings over the years. The reason that one stands out to me is because, in retrospect, it was clear that God had inserted faith in me, just as a gift, almost, right? Just like, there's more faith than I could ratchet up myself. Just sort of gave me faith so that the miracle could happen. Now, it doesn't always work like that, but it was instructive to me. And it taught me that faith ministry is the foundation ministry for everything else. Amen. Right? It's like, if you have faith, well, what? Well, you can move mountains, right? And this is how Jesus taught about it. And he did teach about it a lot. Something like 9 times in the Gospels when Jesus does a healing or deliverance miracle, then he says to the person, your faith made you well, or something quite close to that, which is kind of an extraordinary thing to say, because you would expect him to like give glory to the Father or something. And instead, he looks at the person and says, that was your faith that triggered that. That was an important ingredient to this miracle, and I don't want you all to miss it, you know, faith. And so that started me on this thinking quest. Why is faith so important to the way God designed our life in this universe? And it also gave me a picture of church, my ideal church, what I would like church to be. I would like church to be a house of faith. I would like our own church back in Hawaii, Blue Water Mission, to be a house of faith. This is what I mean by that. Somebody walks through the door and suddenly they can believe things. They can have confidence in things that they couldn't when they stood outside the door. I would like an atmosphere and a culture of positive, eager expectation that just carries people right into whatever miracle they need. You understand? That is the culture that I want in church. And I kind of think that was the culture that Jesus was trying to generate with his little traveling church in the Gospels, because he was talking about faith all the time. With faith, you can move a mountain. Faith made you well. You know, when Peter sank in the waves, Jesus pulled him out and said, ye of little faith, Why were you afraid? And he just goes on and on and on about this. It's just worth meditating on in a very practical way. I would like this to be a house of faith, and I would like you to share the attitude of faith with one another, because I think faith mostly is an attitude, right? Faith isn't what you believe. It's what you do with what you believe, right? That word attitude means approach. It's the angle that you take to things. Do you approach life with an angle of faith, or do you approach life with an angle of, well, we'll see? You know, it's one way to express it anyway. It's a glorious, empowering attitude, and it really makes change and progress possible. I think in Eden, think back to the Garden of Eden story, one of the problems was that Adam and Eve didn't need a lot of faith to believe in God, right? God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, and you would think that if God walked with you, your faith would be perfect. But that's not true. Your belief would be perfect, but your faith wouldn't be, which is to say you would believe in the existence of God, but you would not necessarily trust him to be good to you. And that was the problem, wasn't it? Right? Adam and Eve could see God, but when the deceiver came along and said, you know, God's just trying to lord it over you for his own purposes, wants to keep you weak, that's why he doesn't want you to eat that fruit, that yummy knowledge fruit. And Eve bought it, and then Adam bought the lie. You know, they didn't trust God to be good, even though they believed he existed. And, well, lots of damage resulted from that, didn't it? And so from that moment on, God took life on planet Earth, and he inverted it. Now, you have to trust God to be good just to believe in him long term. Because if you doubt that God is good to you, your soul will weary and you will fall right out of the race, won't you? So now, trust, which is to say faith, which is to say confidence in God's character and willingness, that's front and center, right? That's front and center. It's not enough to have factual belief. We have to have attitude, right? We have to have faith attitude. The universe is designed for faith. God has made life hard in order to provoke our faith growth. And God has given us opportunities in ministry to love and to sacrifice for other people in order to provoke our faith growth. And that's what we practiced together this weekend. We did all these supernatural ministries, these prophecies, and these faith healings and stuff like that. And what we tried to do was we tried to manifest faith so that we could trigger the rest of it. Your faith has healed you. With faith, you can move mountains. With faith, you can walk on water. Because that's trusting in God's character, and that's front and center in his mind. So he's designed our whole experience to be faith-empowered. And therefore, church should be a house of faith. You follow me so far? Everybody give me one raucous clap. We're going to have to work on your rhythm and your counting. But, you know, house of faith, not house of rhythm. We'll get there, people. We'll get there. I wanted to share a little story from Matthew chapter 15. It's a story about Jesus' encounter with a Canaanite woman in a different gospel. She's called a Syrophoenician woman. She's a foreign woman. She's not a Jew. She doesn't live within the boundaries of Israel at the time. She's a little bit out of Israel. And what has happened in this story is that Jesus is trying to take a vacation. He's been really tired out by all of his ministry. So he takes his guys and literally had to leave the country in order to get clear of the crowds. That's what's going on. So he's on a retreat. He's trying to be on a retreat. And this is how the story goes. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. So going away, leaving the area to get some time off. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." So this poor little girl has a demon bedeviling her, and it's causing her some sort of physical pain and distress, as they often do. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. All sorts of interesting things on there, going on there, right? Jesus on retreat, he's out of Israel, and this woman comes begging for help, and he doesn't respond. The Lord doesn't respond. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like you're begging the Lord for help and like nothing? All right, so that's the setup. And the good Christian disciples were like, yeah, send her away, get rid of this aggravation. So, yeah, no comment on that, but I don't know, we've all been there. It's like, that's enough. You're going to have to come back later. Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. This needy person has become a distraction. And he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. So I don't know what's going on in him exactly, but he feels compelled to offer an explanation, perhaps so they don't get the wrong idea, perhaps so, you know, they know he's not saying, well, forget her, she's not important. Instead, he's saying, my priority is I minister to the Jews first. And then from there, this kingdom mission spreads around the world. It's right for me to kind of ignore her, right? I'm trying to follow the plan of the Father. That's kind of the conversation that's happening. And okay, we understand that. That's okay. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. So she's up in the stakes. She's just on it. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. The children would have referred to the Jews within Israel. And the dogs, that was a nickname that Jews gave to non-Jews, to Gentiles. Maybe not a flattering nickname, particularly in that culture. But Jesus is maybe in a vernacular sort of way explaining, like, this is the situation. I can't help you. It is not in the plan. Rough, though, right? Rough for the mom. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Lord, help me. No. The Lord says no. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I like this gal. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted, and her daughter was healed from that moment. He sort of prophetically releases the deliverance and the healing for this little girl. Love that story. Love that story. Because it's just so wrong. You know, it's sort of offensive and incorrect. And so you learn a ton from it, right? That's how these things work. She is in a desperate state. I mean, so like, when your kid is in trouble, that's worse than even you being in trouble, right? So this woman is in a desperate state, and she comes to this guy who is her hope, Jesus. She's heard about him. Lord, help my daughter. Help my daughter. God, help me. And the Lord says, no. More than once, kind of in the course of the story, the Lord says no to you. And then she says yes to the Lord. Ah, by no, you mean yes. That's what you mean. And, you know, and she exercises a lot of humility there. But in the course of that interaction, here's what doesn't happen. She doesn't lose faith, does she? Amen. Right? And I think that's what impresses Jesus. In fact, it kind of freaks out Jesus, you know? Because he says no. He has a mind to say no. He thinks that he's following the plan of the Father, and indeed he is. And he says, woman, you have great faith. Right? He didn't say that calmly. I imagine he was like turning to the other disciples and like, that's what I'm talking about. You know, because that faith makes everything possible. The plan of God, which was start with the Jews and spread the light around the world, was a plan designed to generate faith around the world, right? There was the way that these stories were supposed to unfold that would convince people to believe in the good character of God, to trust him, to develop that attitude of faith. But this woman jumps the whole barricade, right? She short-circuits the process. She's already found her way to great faith. And Jesus is like, well, the rest is moot, isn't it? You know, like, let's just do the miracle here. Like, that's awesome, lady. That is awesome. Your daughter's fine. You know, I just release that in Jesus' name. If the Lord said no to you, would it crush you or would you maintain faith anyway? Great story. Faith, so incredibly vital, so incredibly powerful. Such an attitude that more than anything else, I want to give you faith today. I want to impart to you an attitude of faith. You know, and then everything is possible. I mean, I don't know what should happen for you in your life, but I know that at that point, everything would be possible, right? You could move whatever mountain you need to move. You could navigate any valley that you happen to be in. You could do any miracle that was necessary. You could, you know, hear any prophecy that you needed to say. And all of this to say that I think the ministry of the church, primarily in this world, is to minister that attitude to the world, to manifest and to minister faith to people who are dying for lack of it. Just like we did in Eden, by the way, because it is still the original problem, to trust God to be good, you know? To minister faith to a world full of fear, because fear is the opposite of faith, you know? I think the past 3 years have basically been about fear in the world, have they not? I think everybody in the world has been discipled in an intense spirit of fear for the last 3 years. And where are they going to go to find faith? They're going to come to the house of God. That's where they're going to find faith, right? It's in here. The world does not care what you believe. They don't want to hear you explain the Jesus story, do they? Come on, let's be honest. They don't care what you believe. They have a way of dismissing what you believe. Oh, that's your tradition. That's your custom. That's the way you were raised. Or good for you, but, you know, we have a way of not caring about what you believe. The world does not care what you believe, but the world is hungry for your faith, which is the attitude with which you believe. The world is starving for your faith attitude. It's starving for positive expectation and that sort of permissive embrace of the positive God. The world is dying for that. And the Lord will take it from you like a dying person in the desert will accept water from you, because the world knows that they're afraid. Everybody in the world is terrified right now. Or some stripe of it, you know. They're angry, they're offended, they're, you know, they're worried, they're anxious. It's all fear, is it not? And you have the antidote, which is faith in a character, the character of a God who is just overwhelmingly good. And so I would just like to suggest to you fundamentally faith ministry. So we're going to practice that right now. Faith ministry, turn to the person next to you, look them in the eyes with a little bit of confidence and say, it's going to be great. Going to be great. All right, now turn the other direction to the person on the other side and do it with a little more attitude. From here. No, it is going to be great. You don't understand. I realize that you've heard no, but you're going to get a yes that's even better than you think. Right? Turn to the person behind you and say, the answer is yes. Here's what I assure you, and if you remember nothing else that this skinny guy from Hawaii says to you today, remember this: your attitude is the most contagious thing about you. Your attitude is the most contagious thing about you, right? Faith is an attitude, and it's the most contagious thing about you. You guys have jobs out there in the real world. I don't mean to be judgmental, but there's that person that comes into the office with the not-so-faith attitude and just drags everybody down, right? That person who manifests cynicism or pessimism, that's very powerful. That person can completely ruin your job. That person can make you want to leave your job. Am I right? Am I right? You might be that person. I'm not pointing fingers or anything, right? That one person can ruin the entire worksite. Am I right? But is that pessimism, that cynicism, more powerful than your faith? You could be the one person that makes it all worthwhile for them to be there, because your attitude is contagious. It cannot help but spread. More contagious than, oh, I don't know, some virus you might be thinking of. Far more contagious and enormously more powerful. Do not underestimate what you bring to the world. Do not underestimate it. That attitude, because that attitude will heal people. Literally, we saw it. That attitude will deliver people from whatever is oppressing them. Literally, that attitude allows you to walk on water, to multiply loaves and fishes. That's the attitude that does it, and it should be a priority for you. Attitude. So when you look at somebody and say, it's going to be great, that is an extraordinarily godly thing to do. It's extraordinarily supernatural, and it allows you to be a supernatural minister from that point. I had this prophecy recently. I was looking at a painting at church. Part of our worship, we have artistic people that will like paint canvases sometimes, and like it's a nutty place, my church. But you know, and this person was painting this nature landscape right in the middle of my sermon. I looked over at it and I was like, "That mountain wants to move." Sort of came to me as a word from the Lord. You know, we have that saying, faith can move mountains. Oh, yeah, but think of it this way. That mountain wants to be moved by your faith. And I think that's the design of the universe. I think that life itself wants faith, right? Because that's what makes life eternal life. All creation groans and waits in expectation for the revelation of the children of God. You might know that verse. All of creation wants your faith because your faith makes it work correctly. Your faith magnifies everything in the proper godly way. The mountain in front of you wants to move. Can you say that with me? We do that at this church? The mountain wants to move. All right, final thing, turn to the person next to you. Look them in the eye, and with faith attitude, the best faith that you have, tell them that their mountain wants to move. You guys are awesome. You do that really well. I kind of like you. I don't care what Ted says. I don't care. They're fine, Ted. Say it, Dave. One more time, buddy. I'll take that. I feel that. I needed that. Thank you. You can get there. You can get there. If I can get there, you can get there. Can we just do this? I got like, 5 minutes, then we need to get out of there. Anybody need to be healed from something? Something physical in your body? Anybody? Just raise your hand. Go ahead. And if that's you, and you can you just stand up where you are? Go ahead. Just stand up if you can. If you can't stand, you got a leg problem, then just keep your hands up. All right. So those of you who are around these people, I want you just to give them a blessing. Just circle around. I know you just came to visit this church today. You're checking it out. Maybe you don't even know what you think about Jesus yet. But this is the house of faith. I mean, this is the house of faith and godly love. So yeah, you can stand up. You can gather around, whatever. This is cool. And I see some of you just kind of politely laying a hand on the person's shoulder. This is all I want you to do. I want you to look the person in the face, and I want you to say, your mountain wants to move, be healed. And if you are a believer, say, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Everybody take a whack at it. Everybody take a whack. Be healed in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, brothers and sisters, I release the good order of the kingdom into your flesh, into your bones, and into your cells. In Jesus' name, you are healed. In Jesus' name, you receive. In Jesus' name, you receive. It is well. Your body is progressing toward the health it is designed for. Go ahead. Tell them. Tell them with attitude. Attitude, because I tell you what, your attitude is the most contagious thing about you. Have so much attitude that their body gets caught up in it. This is not the power of positive thinking. This is the power of God's design of life. Because God is good. That's why we have faith, because God is good. All right. Bless you. Thank you. Bless your hearts. Thank you for those who received the ministry as well.